When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AFR On Demand is brought to you by Breck Golf. Try Beaver Creek today, just 20 minutes from downtown Baton Rouge in the Zachary area. They've got a PGA Tour driving range, a short game practice area, 30 to 40 yard practice shots. It's a great place to chip and putt and practice if you don't have time for a full round. Book your tee time today. Golf.breck.org. Golf.breck.org.
Matt Moscona.
I'm very important.
After further review.
Say one more time.
After further review with Matt Moscona.
And here we go.
ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria. Live from the Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge Studios.
Hour three, off we go. Welcome aboard. Glad you're with us. AFR, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana. Matt.
This is Shaq O'Neal, and I hate
Paul O'Neal.
They're chanting Paul O'Neal's name.
Yes, so. And Mr. Toby Tomplay. All right, we're here. Glad you are as well. Get out there and make it a good one. Mike Triplett joins us from London in about 15 minutes from right now. Mike said he'll stay up late. Said it's 11. It'll be 11:15-ish local time there in London when we chat with him. He was good with it. So we'll go to London here in about 15 minutes. Right now, let's go to the Plains. Our buddy Zach Blackerby joins us as we preview the Auburn Tigers.
The Tigers are on the hunt. Let's head behind enemy lines to preview this week's matchup.
Zach Blackerby, easy for me to say, from Locked On Auburn. Good enough to join us. How are you, bud?
Good, man. Good. Always a pleasure to talk to you on Auburn LSU week.
Hey, man. You and I have talked about it before. I love this game. It's my favorite series that LSU plays annually. It just always means more for me. We were talking about if we should lead with the Brian Harsin stuff, but Zach, I just don't know that. Well, you know, I mean, we're here to talk about the game, but I don't know how we lead with anything else because it's just this. It feels like outside looking in, like it's just a massive cloud over the whole program right now. What can you tell us about just the state of things there with Brian Harsin, boots on the ground?
I mean, it seems like it's unanimous. It seems like it's going to be a united effort, which is unusual at Auburn because there's two or three different like political factions, right, of the powers that be. But I mean, it sounds like everybody's in agreement that it's time to move on. Brian Harsin doesn't seem happy. His family doesn't seem happy. The other Boise coaches that he brought with him don't seem happy. It seems like pretty much everybody's in agreement that it's time to move on. So we'll see about the timing. We'll see about, you know, what the negotiations are regarding the buyout. But really, Matt, the only kind of debate is when do you do it, right? And I think I'm in the wait as long as you can boat. I don't think it really benefits you to let him go. But he's, it's done. This will be the last year Brian Harsin's Auburn's head coach.
Okay. All right, well, let's just transition to talk about the game. I saw a report from AL.com that TJ Finley will not be available. So do we know if that's confirmed that this is going to be Robbie Ashford on Saturday?
Yep. Talked to folks close to TJ last night, actually. I mean, he's having a hard time throwing the football farther than 15 or 20 yards with no zip on it. So TJ's out. Robbie Ashford is in. Robbie Ashford should be good to go and should be the full-time starter. We did see him leave the game against Missouri, right? He's blocking downfield because that's the kind of kid he is. And he ended up hurting himself. Came back in a few drives later. But, yeah, Robbie Ashford should be good to go.
How much does the offense change with Ashford as compared to Finley being in there?
Yeah, I think it changes, Matt, but not as much. It should change more. And so what we saw with the usage of Robbie Ashford when TJ Finley was healthy is he came in, did his Wildcat stuff, and actually provided some pop, actually provided some, you know, explosiveness. But now, as a full-time starter last week, you can't do that, right? You can't run Robbie Ashford 15 times a game and expect him to stay healthy. I mean, he barely stayed healthy last week. So it hasn't changed a lot, but it does need to change more because Robbie Ashford's feet, that's really the most dynamic thing on this offense right now. Hmm.
So what has – coming into the season, I think you and I spoke about this in Atlanta. Like, we talked about Tank Bigsby, and, I mean, we saw Jarquez Hunter had some really explosive plays at Baton Rouge a year ago. Like, why hasn't the running game – why hasn't it been more effective?
Yeah, the one, it's predictable. Two, it's – I mean, Auburn's offensive line – has been historically bad. Awful. And, you know, going into Missouri last week, the storyline was like, okay, Auburn should be able to run the ball on Missouri because everybody can run on Missouri. And that wasn't the case. Averaging like 1.5 yards a play when Tank is in and when there's two tight ends on the field, and Auburn runs a ton of two tight end stuff. So, yeah, it's just been a very boring offense. Been a very predictable high school caliber offense with a historically bad offensive line by SEC standards.
Why? Why has the offensive line been – why and how? Like, what have they struggled so much at?
Yeah. Well, last year, you know, PFF liked them. They were a top half offensive line. They couldn't run block, though, Matt, but they were okay from a pass blocking standpoint. I do think Bo Nix's mobility helped their grades out a little bit. I know PFF says they take that into account. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical. It is what it is. But as far as, you know, what you bring back from last year to this year, you bring back a ton. A lot of these guys came back and were like, all right, we're going to do the super senior thing, use the COVID year. But injuries still happen. Nick Brobs is a big part of this. He's been Auburn center for like 20 years, it feels like.
Right.
He retired from football before the season started. And the guy that stepped up after him, like, he wasn't ready. He got hurt early in the Missouri game. And so they're going to do some shuffling. I think they're going to have a brand-new offensive line just to kind of hope that it works. And they kind of ran out of bodies at center, so they're going to put Brandon Council, who's a super senior. He's been at guard. He's played some center and some tackle before he transferred to Auburn from Akron.
Yeah.
So versatile dude, not great. I mean, he's not going to, like, move the line of scrimmage by himself or anything like that. But it's just, you got a bunch of dudes that a lot of these guys weren't wanted by other SEC teams. And so just looking at dating back to the Gus Malzahn era, they didn't really put a whole lot of guys in place other than JUCO dudes, which are finally just now starting. You look at Killian Zaire at left tackle. But outside of that, it's just a bunch of dudes that nobody else really wanted, consistent three stars, and they haven't been developed over their time at Auburn.
He's on Twitter at Z Blackerby. Locked on Auburn host Zach Blackerby is with us, giving us an Auburn preview. If I ask the big picture question, what is the path for Auburn to have any success offensively in this game? What is it?
Yeah, I think Auburn's receivers are actually pretty talented. We just haven't been able to see them consistently get the ball. But when they get the ball in space, they make the most of it. You guys know of Coy Moore very well. We saw him actually get an opportunity last week against Missouri, and he looked good. He looked really, really good. And so you need to see some of that. Javarius Johnson, over the first few weeks, led the SEC in, like, yards per reception. I believe yards per target as well. And then Matt, he didn't get a target against Missouri. When your offense was struggling, your best guy, your most productive receiver, didn't get a target. So get those two guys involved and then find a way to get the ball in Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter's hands other than just running it up the middle, whether it's outside zone stuff, whether it's getting him involved in the passing game, whatever it may be. You've got to find a way to generate space and scheme guys open. But this offensive coaching staff has been stubborn, and they've chosen to not really decide, you know, to change anything. Quick passes, doing things to help out your quarterback and to really help out this poor offensive line. They're not doing some of the no-brainer stuff that you do to combat that when you have a weak pass blocking situation. And so we'll see. Maybe Brian Harsin feels like his back is up against the wall more now than a week ago. I don't know how. I mean, it seems like even though Auburn won, it seems like he's even more on the hot seat. But they've got to make some of these no-brainer adjustments. We'll see if they do it.
Is the defense any good?
Defense is good. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I don't think they're going to get as much credit because they're on the field a ton. And I kind of expected them to wear down a little bit against Missouri, and maybe they did because Missouri did have that chance. You know, they drove it all the way down the field and had a layup for a kick, and they missed that, and they were about to score in overtime. So maybe they did break down over time. But, Matt, I'm kind of expecting this to be a close game at halftime, very low scoring, and then maybe halfway through the third, late third, early fourth, I think Jaden Daniels just starts finding chunk plays. But it's not because Auburn's defense is bad. I think Auburn's defense is actually pretty good. I just think they're going to be on the field a ton, and Auburn's offense is not going to be able to consistently move the football.
Special teams have been a big bugaboo for LSU this year. At various times, they've been just bad in spots. How is Auburn on special teams?
Been a lot of conversation this week about Auburn's kicker. Anders Carlson, younger brother of Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson's one of the best kickers in SEC history. Sure. Set a ton of records. His little brother's not as good as him. And, you know, he started as a redshirt freshman, I believe, and it was okay. The last year he kicked like 70%. He's 4 of 5 on the season this year, coming off of a knee injury. But he feels a lot worse than 4 of 5 on the year because he missed 2 kicks that didn't count last week, but he got bailed out by either like a timeout or an offsides call. And so it kind of worked out in Auburn's favor there. But a lot of concern about the kicking game. I think Auburn's punter is fine. And as far as the return game for Auburn, it's been okay. Nothing extremely explosive or anything like that, but, you know, a solid return here and there, but nothing to write home about. I think Auburn's fine on special teams.
If Auburn wins the game, and look, man, look, seeing LSU as a 9-point favorite at Jordan-Hare is like, it's just eye-popping to me, Zach. I mean, I've referenced this before. I mean, 2012 Auburn is the worst Auburn team I've ever seen in my life. They were 0-8 in the league, and they fired Chiz. That was a 12-10 game where LSU kicked a field goal in the third quarter, and that was the only scoring in the second half, and LSU escaped 12-10. Like, I've just seen too many games in that damn stadium to think this is going to be a walk. So if there is a path for Auburn to win it, what does it look like?
I think the defense has to create chaos, which they have the skill set to do, right? And, you know, LSU starting some young guys up front, so maybe they have a chance to generate some mismatches there. Auburn's edge rushers, Derek Hall, Eku Leota, they're really, really good. And so maybe that makes Jaden Daniels uncomfortable. Jaden Daniels, you know, we can all say what we want about the Pac-12. You know, I don't have a whole lot of respect for it. So I don't think he's really seen an atmosphere like he will Saturday night in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Maybe that rattles them some. I'm not banking on it, but, you know, you're asking me this question.
Sure.
So I'll answer it that way. But, you know, maybe that impacts them. Maybe communication's tough for LSU's offense to help out this defense. And maybe, hey, Auburn's defense has only generated 1 turnover so far, and everybody's kind of banking on the law of averages to start evening this thing out. Maybe they could force a few more short fields for this offense to help them out. I think that's the path to it, man. I don't see this Auburn offense just turning a corner, Matt. I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to run the ball against LSU's defensive front, and I just don't trust the scheme enough to get guys open in the passing game more than 15 yards downfield.
You think LSU wins it going away?
Yeah. Okay. I think if the line was LSU minus 14.5, I think I'd still take LSU.
Wow. Okay. Zach Blackerby locked on Auburn. Follow him on Twitter at ZBlackerby. Nobody covers Auburn better. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, buddy. You're the GOAT.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Man, it is sobering. Y'all, maybe it's just, I'll talk about it later. Maybe it's just like PTSD from seeing so many games there to think, I just cannot allow myself to think a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium is just going to be easy. I just, my brain can't get there. I see it all. Objectively, everything Zach talked about. Their offense stinks. They want to fire the coach. They can't run. Their offensive line is all reshuffled. Defense has been okay in spots. I get it. I get all of it. I am really struggling to get my brain to a place where I can see LSU just go dump truck Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Nobody would love to see that more than me. Trust me. I've told y'all. This is my favorite game. I would love to see LSU go boat race Auburn. But that hadn't happened since 1998. I mean, 1998 was the last time LSU won double digits at Jordan-Hare Stadium, 31-19. That's been 24 years. Maybe they're due. All right, Mike Triplett from London next.
AFR.
Brought to you by Darren James and Associates, powered by eXp Realty. Every home listed by every company, all in one place. You know where to find them. Agent225.com, agent225.com. No one works harder to get your home sold faster for more money than Darren James. Because Darren James not only is he a great realtor, but he's a marketing and branding expert. Because Darren has the most creative ways to market your home, your listing, your property, he brings more buyers faster to get your home sold for more money. And he's got great programs like the Buy One, List One Free program. You've heard me talk about it. If you're maybe thinking about selling your home and moving into another home, hire Darren on the purchase side, on the buy side of your new home. He will list your home for free. He will not take a commission from you. Learn more. Call Darren James, 335-7666, 335-7666, or agent225.com. Buying or selling, Darren James.
Think real estate. Think Darren James.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
Mike!
Yeah?
Saints coverage with some Mad Libs mixed in.
Why don't you just go by Mike.
It's time to talk black and gold with Mike Triplett of New Orleans Dot Football.
Yeah, I mean, it took me still like a year and a half to get the Mike Triplett intro, but you delivered. You delivered. But look, I'd love this. I'm going to kill it. We got it. Look, we're going back to London. Please set the mood. Let's be appropriate here. Let's honor Her Majesty, the Queen.
Well,
may she rest in peace. Yeah, I mean, may she rest
it's
in peace.
King,
we are honoring her memory.
Okay.
And we are saluting His Highness King Charles.
Charles the Third.
The Third. Got it. Mike Triplett is there in jolly London town. He joins us now. How are you, sir?
Was Like Mike new this week? I didn't hear Like Mike last week. Is that a new addition?
No, it was there.
Yeah, it was shorter,
but
Mike.
I think it was shorter, and I think I stepped on
that
it.
That was the
highlight. I wasn't anticipating it last week because that was the first time I'd heard it, and I didn't know that it was on the back end, and it was a slow. And I think I told him, I was like, you got to have a longer tail on there. So, but yes, it was good, isn't it?
Oh, Like Mike is so good.
It's so good.
I could, like, I've thought about this. Everyone, I've heard songs in the last like 2 years that we've been thinking about theme music that's never going to come. I've been like, oh, that would be good. And then I kind of forget.
Shot.
And then I'm like, should I text Matt that I want this song? I'm like, no, I'd be an egomaniac. But Like Mike is better than anything I ever came up with.
What were some of the other ones you came up with?
Well, I'll tell you one I like. that's on my, like, I run a lot and that I like to raise, the dog days are over. It's like, run fast for your mother, run fast for her. There's a good, like, drum beat, and I'm like, that one's really good. And the dog days are over would be good, like, if the Saints ever get off a losing streak. That was one that I thought of recently. So we'll mix that one in. I like Mike. That's it. I'd buy it.
I like it. Okay. Are you tired, by the way?
No. Yes, I have been at different parts of this week. This is a good time for me right now, though, because it's 11:15 here.
Well, it's actually 11:20. It's 11:23 because we called you late.
Okay, I'm more of a night owl. I'm more of a night owl by nature. We had a long day. It's a little longer than our usual Thursdays because we are like relocating to the Saints Hotel and doing the interviews one at a time instead of open locker room. Ubering back to the hotel, doing our work. So I got my work done tonight, got in an exercise, and got to the lobby for dinner at 10:20 when the kitchen was closing at 10:30. I feel bad about that. I hope they're okay with that. I don't know if that's rude in England. And then got up to my room after finishing some exercise and some dinner. So this is about the best I've felt all week, okay. Right here in this exact moment.
Well, this is wonderful. You sound spry. I'm excited about it. Let's start with the obvious one. So no Jameis today. Are we expecting Andy Dalton's going to start on Sunday?
I mean, that's the right bet to place. Nobody will say it officially. Jameis Winston certainly doesn't want to rule himself out. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to backtrack before I answer your question. Nick and I made this point on the podcast. We both heard James Hurst say this at the same time. And I like made a mental note of it. And then he brought it up, and I was like, I was going to tell you the exact same thing. You have to mention that in your rundown. Where James Hurst, like, had a big smile on his face, and he was talking about how inspired they are by Jameis, that he's fighting through this, and he's a warrior, and he's a competitor. And I'm like, these are all the same things you would hear an offensive lineman say about Drew Brees or any other quarterback, probably what they're saying about Justin Herbert right now with the Chargers. And it's like, maybe we need to give Jameis a little more credit. We're all like, oh, you're 92%. You need to be benched. And it's like, this is the, like, you know, courageousness that we credit in a lot of other quarterbacks. And he has those same qualities. Jameis is an alpha. Jameis is a, I don't care if you have to put duct tape on it. I'm going out there. But obviously it's up to, you know, coaches and trainers to be like, well, you're going to hurt the team if you go out there. And I think in week three, after seeing that the back is not necessarily getting better, and I think more even than affecting his passing, the fact that he can't run and that defenses now know he will not run, I think it is hurting the team a little bit. And I do think the right situation might be not performance-based, but we'll get you back out there when you're healthy, because this is not doing us any favors when you're not healthy. So that's what I'm guessing. But maybe if he takes the right shots and puts on the right padding, I mean, it is still his job to lose, and he hasn't lost it yet based solely on performance.
What else? Look, Mike, I look at the injury report, and it's just, it's extensive. I mean, it's like it's half your starters.
It's a 53-man roster.
Right. It's half your starters. So what am I supposed to make of that right now when you're going into this game at 1-2 that feels massively important?
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad as the length of the names. It is important that Michael Thomas has not practiced all week. And when a guy doesn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, I'm usually pretty skeptical. So I'm pretty skeptical that Michael Thomas will play. I'm a little skeptical that Marcus May will play because we have not seen him actually on the field. He's working off to the side with trainers. But I think everybody else on that list is going to play, including Jarvis Landry, including Traquan Smith and Andrus Peat, who left with concussions, including Taysom Hill and Deontay Hardy, who didn't play. So I don't think it's as bad as all the names you're seeing imply. I think it'll be a relatively healthy. But Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas don't play. Those are big ones.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mike Triplett is with us, by the way, NewOrleans.football. Does this offense just stink? Like, do we just have to realize that they're just not going to be good this year?
I've come closer to that evaluation than I was a week ago. I mean, a week ago I was saying, I look at Michael Thomas and Jarvis. First of all, Michael Thomas and Chris Olave are both playing great.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to marry how well they're playing with how bad the offense looks. Alvin Kamara was fantastic all summer. There is no indication that he's lost a step. I do think, you know, their quarterback play is now C-minus level by NFL standards. I think their offensive line play might be B-minus level now, and those are two things that used to be special.
Yeah.
But a week ago, I said, there's no way this offense can't score 23, 24 points every week. How can they not line up and have two touchdown drives and three field goal drives every week? And then when I saw them not be able to come anywhere close to that in Carolina, I'm like, I guess maybe they can't, and I don't know exactly what that is. I think a healthy Jameis is better than an injured Jameis. One of the realizations we came to this week was when Jameis was doing really well last year and he was only throwing for 180 yards and he wasn't turning the ball over, he was running the ball a lot. It was one of his best assets. Mm. When his first two reads weren't open, he took off running and he moved the chains a few times a game. And that is completely eliminated from his game right now. So maybe a healthy Jameis, if he gets healthier, or Andy Dalton, if they switch to Andy Dalton, maybe that adds just a little bit more, two, three more first downs a game. Obviously, I don't expect the running backs to fumble every week,
right,
which they've done so far. And one of them was a game-changing fumble. Alvin Kamara doesn't fumble.
Mike, dude,
he might win that game.
Mark Ingram at the 10-yard line against Tampa.
Yeah. So, you know, those penalties were so uncharacteristic last week. I don't think all of a sudden this is a Saints team that can't put 12 plays together without a penalty. But, I mean, it's just hard. They need to be close to perfect, and they're anything but right now.
But the defense has been really good.
Yeah.
How does the defense match up against Minnesota?
Well, I'm really – so every podcast conversation we've had, we've been like, all right, here's 48 minutes on – everything we're worried about. And with 2 minutes left, oh, by the way, you think of the they're playing the Minnesota Vikings this week, and Justin Jefferson is one of the biggest threats in the league. And the Saints have a guy who's playing cornerback as well as anyone in the NFL right now. Marshawn Lattimore is on fire. And last week, so was Bradley Roby. DJ Moore, who is supposed to be a pretty good receiver in this league, had one catch for 2 yards last week. And Robbie Anderson only had one catch, too. Now, Baker Mayfield, that's another story.
Yeah, yeah.
Jameis Winston was not the worst quarterback on the field last week. But Marshawn Lattimore is playing lights out right now. And if he's going to shadow Justin Jefferson, I'd buy a ticket just to watch those snaps.
So what's a realistic expectation for this defense against Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota can light you up every once in a while, which is scary. Like Carolina, the one I kept thinking the Saints were going to come back because I was like, I don't think Carolina's ever going to cross midfield.
I
was looking at a lousy offense, and then they obviously had that one play. I mean, they win the game on two plays, the fumble return for a touchdown, which was their defense scoring, and then the missed tackles by P.J. Williams and Tyrann Mathieu where they get that quote-unquote cheap 67-yard touchdown that they didn't have to fight for. But Minnesota, they can score a 67-yard touchdown. Dalvin Cook can run for a 67-yard touchdown. Justin Jefferson can break loose for a 67-yard touchdown. If they get to the red zone, Adam Thielen's as good in the red zone as anyone in the league. So this team's scary. This is a team where you're going to have to score points. Maybe your defense is going to be the one that comes up with the game-changing play, not just we stopped them, we forced them to punt, we stopped them. Maybe the defense is going to have to score or turn the ball over in Saints scoring territory because this is a team that's not going to be held to nothing. But I'm a little surprised at how inefficient they've been the last couple weeks. I mean, Minnesota's offense looked lights out in week one, and they haven't been the last 2 weeks, so that's not a perfect team either.
I got asked about Will Lutz as well. As big a deal as it was a year ago not having him, Mike, he's missed a kick in each of the first three games. I mean, what's going on?
I know. Well, he missed two this last game. So he's 3 of 6 total, but two of them were in the same game. Is that right? Or did he didn't miss one against Tampa, did he?
I'm
drawing a blank now, but he has missed at least three. And you're right. I mean, that's one of those things that kicking is so crazy. I mean, it's like he's one of the best in the league. He had a great training camp. He kicks the game-winning 51-yarder in week one. But then he misses two. One blocked, and, you know, he's got a block. He's got a wide right. He's got an off-the-left upright. And you're just like, you just feel snake-bit when that's happening because you wouldn't trade him for another kicker. But I think there might be a lot of pressure on this team, too. I mean, everything is so magnified right now. Every 48-yard field goal attempt feels like life or death, and that's no way to live.
Yeah. He was a one of one against Tampa, a 31-yarder. So he didn't miss against Tampa. My apologies.
No, okay. That's all right. But you're right. He's averaging one missed kick per game.
So he's missed missed three.
Technically right.
Yeah. All right. So before we let you go, and again, Mike Triplett on Twitter, at Mike Triplett, neworleans.football. I don't know if you can still use the code TRIP to save 10%.
You know what? If they're all used up. I found out after the fact that last week you could still use it, but now I don't think you can.
SOL, I tell you what.
You know what? I think there's a Firehouse Subs promotion still going on. I heard Nick say that in the last podcast. But you know what? We're worth full price. We're worth full price. That's my ad slogan.
Okay. We're worth full price. We're charging a premium because, damn it, we're worth it. Okay. let me finish with what I kind of talked about at the beginning, which is this being a massive game. And how do you put into context at 1-2 and what's ahead, how big this game is for New Orleans?
I'm not calling this one a must-win game in and of itself. But if you don't win this one, then you fly home for the entire full day of Monday and you land back in New Orleans like sometime Monday. You sleep all day Tuesday and you wake up and you've got a must-win game at home against Seattle. And frankly, maybe a must-win two-game homestand against Seattle and Cincinnati. The pressure it puts on the rest of the season becomes enormous if you don't win this one. So you can come back from 1-3, but you leave your entire margin for error back in London. So this, you know, and the exact opposite feeling. If you fly home 2-2 with two home games coming up, you feel like, all right, we sort of weathered the storm. Now we can settle in. And I mean, that's a huge difference between 1-3 and 2-2.
He's Mike Triplett on Twitter at Mike Triplett, neworleans.football. Get there, check out all the content. We appreciate it, man. Safe travels home.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, man. Be well. And Mike, he's joining us live at, it's 11:35 p.m. in London. We do appreciate it for jumping aboard. All right, it's after further review. We'll continue.
AFR.
Brought to you by River City's 1 Hour Air, where they're always on time or you don't pay a dime. 752-0001, 752-0001. Had lunch with Matt and Paul from River City's 1 Hour Air yesterday. Actually went to Ichiban, dined on a Moscone roll. It was lovely. And we are getting close. I think next week they're going to start the preseason heater safety checks. So that's coming. I mean, the weather's getting nicer. We seem to be through all the impossibly hot weather. So it's time to start thinking about that heater as well. And remember, you'll always get great service from River City's 1 Hour Air. Michael Jones left this 5-star Google review. Justin, the technician, came immediately on Sunday afternoon. It was 90 degrees. He's the only home service person to ever give a bag of dog treats for me to my two dogs. That won me over. He was super. I could tell River City's 1 Hour, they're customer-oriented and way ahead of the competition. Quality service in every way. Justin answered questions, taking time to explain what he did and why. He's friendly and awesome. That's River City's 1 Hour Air.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com. ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
I'd plan trash bags. I really don't care what we wear out there.
God, that's the greatest answer ever. I love Joe Burrow so much. Like, I might be in love with Joe Burrow. R.I.P. Coolio. We were sitting there at Oliver Twist last night doing scone and tea, and someone put in the comments during the show, that Coolio died. And I thought it was one of those, like, you know, did Joe Rogan die? And I Googled. I was like, sure enough, man. Coolio dead at 59. Dangerous minds will always have it. 59, how did he die? Did they say? I didn't read any stories on it.
They think cardiac arrest. He was at a friend's house, went to the bathroom, and never came out.
Oh, man. Yeah. 59, RIP Coolio. Yeah, I love Joe Burrow. God, I love Joe Burrow. I don't think I've used that phrasing since Alvin Kamara's rookie year, when I called Alvin Kamara my boo thang. Why are you laughing? Like, that's... I get it.
Yeah,
I just fell in love with him his rookie year. He was just so dynamic. I love the passion, the skill set, everything. I loved it. Play the Joe Burrow cut again, please.
I'd play in trash bags. I really don't care what we wear out there.
For everyone who makes such a big deal. And by the way, Burrow's walking into the stadium. Did you see what he's wearing?
So good.
That's not so good. That's hideous. So good. It's hideous, but it goes to show you he really doesn't care. He's wearing a suit that is, it's like a flower pattern suit. Like, not like gigantic flowers.
He pulls it off. That's why it's so good.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Absolutely, he does.
Musso, that looks horrible. Nobody
on a normal person.
Hold on. Nobody pulls that off.
Joe Burrow does.
Musso, like, please stop interrupting me. Okay. Nobody pulls that off. Put it back up there. The only thing that works about this is you're confident. You're confident enough to wear something that looks so stupid. And so you're like, okay, he looks so stupid, but he's so confident looking so stupid. I'm good with him looking so stupid. That's what that is. Okay, now, sorry.
I love it. Okay. So good. Okay. He pulls it off because of the confidence. He pulls it off. I could pull that off. You could pull that off.
This is maybe just a semantic argument. His confidence doesn't make the suit look better. It makes me not think he looks ridiculous, is the confidence. It doesn't make the suit look better. There are certain people who shouldn't wear certain things because of their physique. I should not wear spandex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I could never pull that off, right? It's similar. Like, there are some things that are just made for people who are built your way. Like, nobody can pull that off. That's just terrible. That's a terrible, terrible suit. But I love Joe Burrow. As much as we've talked about the stupid jersey numbers that people care about, or alternate uniforms, or this or that, like it. Just go play. Whatever you wear, wherever you play, whenever you play, like if you got that dog in you, just go be that dog. What's up with the X-rays now with the dogs? I mean, I get it, right?
The dog in you, man.
I get it. That's
meme culture, Matt.
I mean, I guess. How do we feel about the white helmets?
I love them. I love them. I wish they wouldn't have changed the white jersey as much as they did, but I love the uniform. I think it's fantastic.
What did they do with the white jersey?
So on the shoulders, they added the black fill-in. There used to be more orange accent to their orange jerseys last year, and it would have looked better. I still think they look very good. Well, but
they're wearing all white, though, right?
Right. Well, yes, but like on the white jerseys last year, it didn't have the black fill-in on the shoulders. The numbers were trimmed in orange.
There's no orange on this.
It looked better with that. Straight black and white isn't great.
But I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah. I mean, I love the helmet, though. Would have been better with last year's jersey.
Can you imagine if Bob Broadhead got in his way and LSU had gone to those? You know, in the 80s, LSU had a mock-up of the Tiger Stripe helmet?
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. No, when Bob Broadhead was the athletic director, like, this is a fact, he had a mock-up of that helmet done in purple and gold. No. Like, that is a fact. That's not a fabricated internet thing. Bob Broadhead, I mean, Bob Broadhead has a book.
Sacked.
And he writes about it in there. So, yeah, no, that was a thing. That almost became a thing. Ooh. So anyway, it is Bengals Dolphins tonight. Burrow against Tua. Here was Burrow talking about Tua.
Yeah, I mean, we've been around each other. He texted me when I got injured, and I texted him when he got injured, and so we've stayed in contact since we played against each other last. Yeah, he's playing well. It's exciting to see all the quarterbacks in our draft class have been playing well, and that's always exciting to see. The more talent, the better.
Tua said that he's got a lot of respect for Burrow. Similarly, of course, they played in that great game in 2019 at Brian Dennehy Stadium, where LSU beat Alabama. The other underlying story here, of course, is Tyreek Hill against Eli Apple. It was Eli Apple who made the tackle on Tyreek Hill last year when he was with the Chiefs still. And they get to they've been spatting on social media a lot. And Tyreek Hill had this to say about Eli Apple.
Looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be fun, you know. And I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The cheetah is here.
I owe you, boy. You call a grown man boy, you better be able to walk that walk. All right, we're brought to you by South Point Volkswagen, southpointvw.com. Thursday Night Football tonight. I'm fired up for it. Should be a really good game. Excited to see Joey B, Jamar Chase, all the guys in prime time. We'll get a pick from the Otter coming up. Let me remind you about South Point Volkswagen, southpointvw.com. New and certified pre-owned in Baton Rouge and online at southpointvw.com. That's southpointvw.com. 9 different IIHS top safety picks. That's South Point Volkswagen, the safest vehicles on the road that are stylish, they're fuel efficient, they perform like luxury, they feel like luxury, but they're affordable. Put that extra 30 G's in your pocket, drive a Volkswagen. It's South Point Volkswagen, Louisiana's largest volume Volkswagen dealer. South Point Volkswagen, what's your direction? All right, let's knock out our final break of the show. Come back and do Otter Locks. Get a pick on Thursday Night Football from the Ot Father himself. Don't you move, it's AFR.
AFR.
Hey, remember, you can call Insurance Network of Louisiana and let them shop for free, independently, to find you better coverage for less money. In the last year, since Ida, there have been a lot of insurance companies that have left the state of Louisiana. If that's you and your insurance provider has left the state and you were left without insurance, call Insurance Network of Louisiana. They've got plenty of these relationships, and they've dealt with this with so many Louisianians that have had this problem, and so they've got the expertise to help. They'll know the calls to make and the companies to refer, and they'll get you squared away. It's Insurance Network of Louisiana, 293-0450, or online at lainsurance.net. This is completely free. There is no fine print. They shop independently for free to find you better coverage for less money. It's Insurance Network of Louisiana.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
Down the stretch we come. Final segment here on a Thursday edition of AFR, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana. One thing left to do. Let's find out what we're betting on tonight. Time for Otter Locks.
Otter Locks, presented by Lofton Staffing Services. At Lofton, we put people to work. Call us today at 924-0200 or go to lofton.jobs.
So we turn to the one and only, the incomparable, the often incomprehensible, the Ot Father himself, Jimmy Ott. Otter, how are you?
Doing great, Matt. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to Thursday Night Football. Little Burrow versus Tua should be a good one. Where y'all are at Jolie Pearl, yeah?
Jolie Pearl every Thursday through the end of football season in January. So myself, Annie, soaking up this great weather.
I was about to say,
man. Of Jolie Pearl,
I know last year there was a week where you were out, and I went and did the show with Roscoe, and they had the door open right there at the front. It was just,
yeah.
I mean, just it's such a great spot right there in downtown, especially when the weather's nice like this.
It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. So, I heard Musso earlier today.
Boom! Yeah. I mean, how does my guy not recognize that's a gunshot?
I mean,
firearms.
Here we go,
baby. I mean, Otter. Well, just to clarify, because someone did text, the show was like, I don't know, what was the gunshot? So we were doing a what to watch for segment, and I said, Moose, just give me a a transitional sound effect. So we go from me to Moose to Paulie. We just have a sound effect. And he played again. And somehow he doesn't think that's a gunshot. It's a gunshot.
Hey, remember the game day where it was at the Cotton Bowl? And Corso's picking a Texas, Oklahoma. And they give him the gun. He's got the boomer sooner on his head, and he shoots it. I can see Musso. Where's Musso with the chuck wagon on his head. Boom!
The visual is so good. All right. What do we got? We got about 90 seconds. What do we got?
All right. And I also heard him, in all seriousness, bring up a very good point about teams that are undefeated against the spread. Man, we got a team that's 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the spread, just beat the Super Bowl favorite, and they're catching more than 3.5. Man, I'm used to a much better number in this spot. So it tempers my enthusiasm on Cincinnati. But the thing is, Matt, and Cincinnati has not looked like they did last year. And, you know, they've got to adjust. And we talk about the offensive line struggling, Burrow's been hit. But the explosive plays, you know, haven't been. They missed a tackle. They just missed a tackle on Boyd. And that in the box score looks like an explosive play, but kind of wasn't. But, man, listen, 90 snaps for the defense in South Florida, and now they got to get up, travel, play in a short week again, yeah, where you're already compromised. That's an awfully tough spot for Miami defense tonight against Cincinnati. So I'm going to stick with Cincinnati.
1 minute remaining.
I guess I should say it like this. We're going to go with the Bengals. Boom!
you're gonna lay the four. I know we're short on time, but is there any research behind the amount of times that a road team covers on Thursday Night Football? It just, that quick turnaround with travel is just miserable.
It was massive early, and then it kind of reversed its trend for a little bit, but it's still, it's factored into the line.
Okay.
I mean, if this game was Sunday, this game would be 2.5 or 3.
Okay.
So it's already factored into the line a big way. That's why it tempers me a little bit. But that's all right. Joey Bro, baby.
Thank you, Otter.
All right. On,
game time with Jimmy Oddballos. He's so stupid. Just listen to Jimmy. All right. Well, Muse, Paulie, thanks. See ya.
AFR.
All right. As we get on down the road, I got to remind you about Mold Zero USA. As a matter of fact, I had a buddy text me earlier today. Said, hey, I need you to remind me, who are the people that do the mold mitigation? Mold Zero USA. Online at mold-zero, spell it out, mold-zero USA.com. This is a patented, non-toxic, dry fog treatment. You will only be inconvenienced out of your house for as long as it takes to dry, which is about a couple of hours. Call Jim, have him explain the process to you. They'll give you a free estimate. And they service the entire greater New Orleans and greater Baton Rouge areas, including the North Shore. So go to the website, mold-zerousa.com, and you can see the phone number for Baton Rouge and for New Orleans, mold-zerousa.com. No demolition. This is safe for your family. Get rid of mold and odors forever. Mold Zero USA, mold-zerousa.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.